All right, how about Scotland yesterday? I called this a couple of days ago. I said Scotland's going to find a way to win this. It'll be an absolute miracle. They give up a tying goal in the 90th minute. You just, like, every Scotsman and every one of Scottish descent around the world, they're just like, here we go. They're going to blow this and miss out on the Euros. Goes to penalties. They win 5-4. Our main man, Stephen Caldwell, was in studio watching it. The video is incredible. You can see it online. And I can only imagine what he would have been doing yesterday if he was in Glasgow.
How many pints?
Imagine if you're in Edinburgh yesterday or Glasgow or just anywhere, anywhere in the country. Aberdeen's gritty. Here's our TSN soccer analyst, football analyst. Let's get that right, Stephen Caldwell. What would your party scene be like if you were back home last night, Stephen?
Oh, I can only imagine what it would have been like if we weren't in the pandemic times, guys. But, yeah, just incredible celebrations for the nation, really. It's been far too long, and there's been some near misses. There's been some really poor campaigns, and this one had so much promise. But, you know, we felt like we got the worst tie, the worst team in Serbia away, and how difficult it was going to be in Belgrade. But the boys did it. They played the match of their lives, played really well. Good game plan, activated it, got the penalties and done the job. Amazing.
Did your boy KJ just say, let's get in the car? I guess there's nowhere to go, Stephen. Like, did you guys, you must have went out for some beers or did something.
Yeah, I had to go, guys. I have to say, you know me, too big a night. So we've got our bar, our Scottish bar called the Caledonian at College in Ossington. A few of my friends, a couple of techs, I said, we've got to have a pint or two and a whiskey tonight. And we went to the Caledonian patio, a couple of beers. Ended up being a quiet night because we got kicked out of 11, as we should have. And that was probably a fortunate thing. Otherwise, I think we would have went to the wee small hours of the morning, as you say.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I remember the 98 World Cup. My grandfather's Scottish. He's from just outside of Glasgow, and it was a big thing for him. I remember we were on the 401 going to a Scottish pub, which I probably wasn't supposed to be at anyway. I was like 14 or 15, and we saw another guy driving right down there. The highway with a Scottish flag. They're both going 80 on the 401, giving each other thumbs up. Everyone else is giving us the finger because we're slowing everything down. And I think I'm looking it up now. I'm pretty sure it was the Morocco game. They got smoked 3-0. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, this is the team that we're rooting for. Obviously, Canada didn't have a sniff in 98, but they haven't been back since. You know, whether it's the World Cup or the Euros, pretty incredible. It's been a long time, man, 23 years. And Scotland is through. And just take us through your emotions as someone who played for the national team and has a lot of pride in this club and in your home country, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, Brian, we had, you know, great success. I was 86. I can remember watching a game briefly. I was 5 or 6, but I can remember being on vacation and watching a match. And then, you know, we had 92 was our first Euros. 90 was Italia 90. We were at every tournament nearly then. Euro 96 in England was another incredible one. And then we opened up France 98 against Brazil. And I can remember, you know, everyone coming around to my parents' house and everyone in the Scotland strip getting so excited, and it felt like it was going to continue like that. And then you realise that, you know, in sport, it's nothing's a given. We made it to the playoffs to try and get to Euro 2000. We lost to England, of course, which was a dramatic loss. We nearly done it. And then it was just, you know, campaign after campaign where I was involved in some of them, and we were close. We had big games and we just couldn't get the job done. And then you know, to build up to this one. So it was building all the time. You just felt it was never going to happen. You just wonder what group of players was going to get the job done. And lo and behold, the combination of the guys that we've got, some of them playing some great clubs in England and Scotland as well. You know, you think about Robertson, obviously, the obvious one, and Tierney's at Arsenal, and McTominay's playing some considerable minutes with Manchester United right now. You have McGinn at Aston Villa playing brilliant football. So you felt like someone was building. You got the Scottish contingent of Jack and McGregor and Christie, and you know, some real quality there. And yeah, it just worked. We just hit form at the right time. We really did. We were playing a, you know, pragmatic style of football, and Steve Clark's got them organised nice. But we dominated that game, guys. We really felt Serbia. I thought the only way we could win was to hang on, to get lucky, David Marshall to make some big saves, and then maybe sneak a goal or take it to penalties. But we dominated the game. We possessed more than Serbia. We were on top. Yes, when they scored, it was a big disappointment. and he got in the front foot. But Scotland were really in that game, and I think there's a manner of the victory that's so pleasing for everybody who's a fan of Scottish football today.
Stephen, given that it's been so long and so many disappointments, did you hold your breath for a second when the penalty was saved, wonder if they're going to call it back because the keeper left the line a little too early? Because they do call that quite tight right now, and given the history, you're thinking, if anything go against us, that might be it.
Yeah, well, you can see from my reaction, I never even thought about, was he off the line? I'm just going crazy in the seat and enjoying the moment. And Marshy, who I've played with in Scotland, David Marshall, the goalkeeper, he was concerned. You see him waiting to celebrate.
He was checking.
The assistant referee's checking, was I on the line? He wants to know before he loses his emotions and he starts celebrating. And I never even crossed my mind until I saw Marshy and I went, oh, hopefully he's on the line here. And I thought, what a decision this is going to be if they're going to bring this back, you know, after everyone's running towards the goalkeeper. So I was quietly confident that it wasn't going to come back. We see the replays, and Marshy just manages to get his style, to get that little bit of direction, but still keep his right foot dragging, touching the line. So amazing. Amazing for him. What a story he is, guys, because he's been involved with the national team for, I would say, 15 years. And he was always being second and third goalkeeper behind two great goalkeepers in Craig Gordon and Alan McGregor, and they had terrific careers. And Marshy was always a guy that was trying to get in the team, and he just kept with it. He stuck with it. He turned up at every camp. He gets into a position now where he's obviously the first-choice goalkeeper, and he's been magnificent. The save he made in extra time when Serbia were on top. After that goal, it really rocked us. We were up against it in that first period, the extra time after the substitutions we had made. The first half was tough, and Marshy made a massive save down to his right. And to me, that was a big turning point, because if they scored that goal, there was no way back and we would have been out. So, yeah, I was really pleased for him, a very good friend of mine and someone who I think thoroughly deserved to have that moment.
With our TSN soccer analyst, Stephen Caldwell, so we prepare for the Euros, which are going to go off. They were supposed to happen in 2020, and now they're being 2021, and then about 12 months later, give or take, maybe a little bit more than that, we're into the World Cup. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, international soccer over the next couple of years as we play catch-up a little bit based on COVID. But this is going to be a whirlwind, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I would assume it's the usual suspects that we expect to do damage in Europe. It's going to be Germany and France and, you know, Italy, I guess, if they're back in it, although they didn't qualify for 2020/2021. Is that kind of what we should be expecting? And then once we get into the international play, it's Brazil and Argentina and et cetera, or could there be some outliers, maybe like Scotland or others, that we should be keeping an eye out for over the next couple of years?
Well, if we look at the way that football's going since we came back and the sort of weird results we're getting a lot of goals, we know that the penalty kick ratios went up considerably. You know, you see that there is some shocks there. There's some potential with the fans in the stadium. Who knows if they're going to be there in the summer? I sincerely hope so, because, you know, it will really be a benefit for Scotland playing two games at Hampden. And then even that one game at Wembley, I think the fans will help them in that case. But who knows? You know, I'd be shocked if one of the guys do a Greece 2004 and go on and win the tournament. But I think they could cause some upsets along the way. But ultimately, when you look at it, Portugal is another one we never really mentioned, who I think will be contenders for Euro 2021. But it will be the usual suspects. You'll have England up there, you'll have Portugal, you'll have Spain, Italy, France, Germany. You know, I can't see any one of these six not winning the tournament.
With Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst. Now, as we get back into the North American swing of things, TFC had themselves a great season, as we know, and they're going into the playoffs here, and I'm sure they feel pretty good about their chances. How would you handicap Toronto FC and their chances of going back to an MLS Cup?
Yeah, well, they've been there, done it, haven't they? They know how to get the job done, and I think they're very confident when it gets to the playoff stage because of their recent history in MLS and obviously their CONCACAF Champions League run in 2018. So I think they'll be confident, but I think cautious concern, I guess, I would say, if you're a Toronto FC fan. I think the last, you know, three or four games have been difficult. They've lost three of the last four So they're showing some signs that they can be vulnerable. They're lacking a bit of pace, missing a couple of guys. So I don't make them favourites. But, you know, I think a big thing that comes into it is their experience and the way that they rise to the occasion. And we look at the regular season with Philly pitting them to the supporter shield and the form that's starting to come with some of the bigger guys like a Seattle or an LAFC who are incidentally going to play against each other. So one of them are going to be out. New York City have actually picked up as well. It's going to be a challenge, but they'll feel like we know how to get over the line, we know how to get the job done, and they'll be extremely confident. But there is some chinks in their armour, and if someone does their homework right and catches them in one of the days where, you know, they are struggling to get the ball moving as good as they can, then I think they're a little bit vulnerable and they could be pipped.
Stephen, on some level, the fact that there are no or fewer fans or not traditional fans going to hurt TFC's chances because they have the great crowd at home or the experience to deal with the crowd on the road, like they are kind of better equipped when there's crowds around than maybe some of the other teams?
Yeah, I think because I've played in front of these big crowds in the last few years, you know, they know what it's like to see a big playoff atmosphere in Seattle or to go into Guadalajara and play a tough Champions League game and then have the benefit of a, you know, a BMO crowd behind them. It's going to be different. It certainly is. And let's not forget, they're not even in BMO. They're in Rensselaer Field in Hartford, Connecticut. So it's not even their home stadium. The challenge that the Canadian teams have had this year, we've talked about it at length, but it really is severe to ask them to be away from their families and to be playing at a stadium that isn't their home is so difficult. So I think all that comes into it. I don't think they want fans in the stadium because I think if they play like in New England, you know, there could be a lot of New England fans. So it would be like an away game. But like when the US play Mexico in the States, you know, it can often be 70-80% Mexicans in the crowd. So I think they'll close the doors for a game like that and make sure that it is neutral. So yeah, it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for everybody. But like I said, being away from home and, you know, the months, the weeks and months ticking by here, I know they've got back for a few days, but sometimes when you get back, it's even worse when you have to leave again. So I think it's been a taxing season mentally and physically, and I think that might cost TFC a little bit as well as we start to head into these playoffs.
Well, it's going to be a fun ride when it gets started. We're looking forward to MLS Cup and the playoffs, and it sounds like MLS 2021 will be beginning in early March. And at some point, we're going to get closer to those Euros, and we look forward to having you in studio whenever we get back in studio. Keep up the great work. Always appreciate you finding time for us, Stephen. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. See you soon. Have
you got
weekend.
It. Stephen Caldwell, former member of TFC, former member of the Scottish national team.
His voice is on point, though. Despite the celebrations, voice is just where it needs to be.
It's outstanding. It's such a great accent. Just the deepest Scottish accent. And just going over the three goalies he named were the three Scottish names of all time. It was like Ali McGregor, Ali McCoist, and Ali Marshall or something. It's like, okay, well, that sounds about right. All right, so
my daughter's coach growing up was heavy Scottish, actually friends of Stephen's. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard that heavy Scottish accent talk in soccer for, you know, 8 years now. So it's It rings true.
Oh, it's good, man. And when they get fired up and start yelling at the ref and stuff, you just have no
idea
what's going on.
When they get sauce, too, it goes to another level.
It's impossible to understand. Impossible.